Good Wednesday. Thanks for being with us on Sports360AZ.com. I'm Brad Sussmat, jumping on board on a busy, busy day, a day where we say goodbye to one of our own for at least, I don't know, a couple of weeks. Todd Graham's going to be with us in about 20 minutes. Really looking forward to talking to Todd Graham about his summer vacation. I know you're thinking, oh, I want to hear football. And I'm going to see Todd Graham next week at Pac-12 Football Media Day. Plenty of time to ask him X's and O's. We're doing the show 4 straight days at Camp Tonizona from Coles Ranch. Plenty of time to talk X's and O's. In the middle of summer, what I want to know from Todd Graham is, I'm going to talk a little football about Jalen Strong just because there's so many NFL people and these draft people already throwing him out there as a top 10 pick. But I want to know where he went for his summer vacation. I heard in talking with him up at the White Mountains last month that he was going to go on a historical trip, go see places like Normandy and Omaha Beach and a tour around Europe. And he's a history teacher, Todd Graham is. So I like to know what makes these guys tick. Anybody and most everybody does the X and O stuff. I like to go a little different. And so we're going to do that with Todd Graham here in about 20 minutes. Look forward to that. Eric is leaving us after today's show. He's coming back. It's just he's getting married on Saturday. So this is it. He asked for a couple of days off early. Eric, in the almost 3 years that we've done this, Eric has never taken many days off. He doesn't go places very often. He's always here. I mean, he could go to College World Series or he could go to football games or he could go a lot of places. But I looked at him and said, well, you're always here. You've accumulated dozens of days off.
Dozens.
And so when he said, you know, my wedding is on Saturday, I'd like to take off in the middle of the week. It's a busy time of year. Today is like the busiest sports day of the year. It's the day after the All-Star game.
It's the night of the ESPYs, which means there's nothing going on.
There's nothing going on.
And when I mean nothing, well, I shouldn't say nothing.
There's
a reason why ESPN holds the ESPYs today.
I don't watch, but...
I don't either.
Yeah, I don't care. So this is it. I don't have any last-minute advice for you. I know people on Twitter, if you want to hit them up, I put it on my timeline for you to go find Eric. Knock yourself out. He's slammed shut. He doesn't care about today's show. He's already moved on. He's already checked out. He's just here. Are you just here for a check? Is that it today?
I wouldn't say that.
No?
I'm a little distracted. Okay, I'm distracted.
Yeah? You nervous?
I'm not nervous. It's just...
You're finding out that this marriage thing is not as simple as showing up and saying I do.
No.
You're slammed shut.
And everything was so smooth until the last few days.
Yeah.
You know, but that's...
Just wait.
It's to be expected. It's okay.
Are you going to have a lot of dignitaries at your wedding? Like... Media people?
Not really.
Well, let me think about this. Paula Bovin.
She will be there.
That's a lead columnist for a leading national newspaper in attendance at your wedding. Former news director Brian Barks from KTAR for years and years. Very, very prominent. Larry Gatos, prominent afternoon show host.
Local celebrity, as I like to call him.
Local celebrity. He's actually standing up with you?
He is.
Wow. That says a lot about you. Whew. So, you know, that's good. That's must be nice. So I can see why you have these expectations of big gifts and big money and all that stuff.
Just from you.
Yeah. Well, we'll get back to that. Anyways, so Eric is barely here today. So I'm looking forward to talking to Todd Graham and not so much to Eric today. Let's get you caught up. Some things on my mind in the world of sports brought to you by the Honda Resort and Casino. Honda Resort and Casino just outside of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains. Honda Resort and Casino, where right now they have the Coldwater Classic going on. You can head out of the heat down here in the humidity and up to the White Mountains for the Coldwater Classic White Mountain Fishing Competition now through August 30th. Last August, they had the Biggest Baddest Brown Competition. Now, right through the end of August, they have the Coldwater Classic. Contest will be open to all ages, cash prizes. Get your gear in gear. If you need new gear, go to Honda Outdoor Sports. And stay at the Honda Resort and Casino just outside of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains. Honda Resort and Casino. So I watched the All-Star game last night, as I'm sure many of you did. The ratings came out today. Not bad, an 8.0 overnight, up 5 from last year, the best since 2010. You know, I'm trying not to be cynical as I'm watching it, but it's crept into me through the years. that when you have Derek Jeter hitting leadoff, you know that the New York market and the Boston market are going to be there, and that Derek Jeter's not just going to get one go at this. He's going to be out there for at least an hour and a half to 2 hours. And then when you follow, it's ironic how it went from Clayton Kershaw to Zach Greinke. I don't know. Maybe we should have the LA guys come out. It's kind of ironic how, I don't know, the White Sox guys are out there. You didn't see too much of, like, Miguel Montero, ninth inning. I get it. You have your catcher, your backup. You're sitting there waiting. But we're going to get those big market guys out there. We're going to drag this thing through as long as we can. I thought the Bob Shepard touch of announcing Derek Jeter was fine. It was fine. It was not one of these things I sat there and said, wow, this is really giving me chills. Here is Derek Jeter at the plate against Adam Wainwright in the first inning.
The 1-0 last to right. That one towards the corner. Fair ball heading to the corner. Jeter racing around first, speeding into second, and he's got a double. How do you like that? As Puig digs it out of the corner.
So after the game's over, actually while the game's going over, of course we have to have something to be outraged about, because this is the most important thing ever. And if I get another email from, you don't understand, the World Series is on the line on this. This is the integrity of the game. It's a freaking all-star game.
It's an exhibition.
It's an exhibition.
It's
and
an
let's
exhibition.
Just leave it at that. When people get all worked up about this stuff, I think for the most part, these are people that need to have more rounded lives. If you've lost sleep over this, or you're just saying today, I got screwed last night, if I'm the National League, because Adam Wainwright might have thrown a fat one up there to Derek Jeter.
Good for him.
You have way too much time on your hands.
Agree.
You have entirely too much time on your hands if that's really where you're going with this today.
You and I don't agree on much, and I was wondering what your stance was going to be on this, because I think it's honestly, Brad, one of the most ridiculous things.
Beyond,
like,
dumb.
People wonder, why is baseball not fun to the majority of sports fans?
Oh.
It's because of things like this.
We can't have this out there. It's an outrage.
Yeah, and PEDs aren't, right? And most fans don't care about the PED stuff. They don't. So this becomes a big deal because, in some people's minds, because Adam Wainwright had to address it, and then he came back and he apologized. Oh my gosh. So here's Derek Jeter after it's over on Wainwright allegedly grooving pitches.
Derek, Adam said he grooved those first two fastballs to you. How do you feel about that?
He grooved them. The first one was a little cutter he threw down and away. He probably assumed I was swinging, so he didn't groove the first one. Second one was about 98 two-seamer that stayed on really good. No, I don't know, man. I have no idea. If he grooved it, thank you. You still got to hit it, so... I appreciate it if that's what he did. Thank you.
Yeah, and here's Adam Wainwright with Aaron Andrews during the game last night.
I feel terrible about this. If anyone's taken any credit away from what Derek Jeter has done today, or off me or anything, I mean, it was missaid. I made a mistake about that. I hope people realize I'm not intentionally giving up hits out there. I know this game means something, and I don't know. It's a distraction, and I did not want to be a distraction. I wanted it to be all for Derek.
Here is Mike Matheny after it is over with. Context here, Mike Matheny is the manager day in and day out for Adam Wainwright.
It's a shame in this game when people are looking for people with personalities to maybe not be so drab and bland like me and actually mix in some personality and some humor, and it's taken completely out of context and run all over social media. It's an absolute shame.
Yeah. No, he's right. And, you know, like what you said, Eric, the dryness of baseball and the blandness of baseball, we sit here and we praise Paul Goldschmidt because he doesn't say anything. He just goes out and plays. Well, if you're going to have a little bit of fun and then you're going to get crushed on social media and then you're going to have nitwits sit behind microphones and sit on blogs all day and all night and say how this is just a travesty and that the game has been ruined and all that, to a large extent, it takes all the fun out of sports. I mean, it really does.
And Jeter's response was perfect, because that's so Derek Jeter. Like,
yeah,
what
but Derek
he said
Jeter doesn't
just,
even be put in that position.
Of course not. But he's just like, you know what? If it happened, it happened, and thanks. If it did happen.
So So here's the moment last night. This is the moment that I'd rather be talking about, but I'm sitting here today with all these inboxes and people saying, well, what an outrage. I'm outraged. If you're outraged by this, try being outraged with, I don't know, higher taxes, schools being overcrowded, immigration. There's probably a few things more important than the outrage of Adam Wainwright grooving something to Derek Jeter in an All-Star game at the end of this guy's career. Here is the moment that should be the moment talked about today more.
Jeter tipping his cap, pointing around the stadium to everybody, to his family in the crowd, and saying thanks to the All-Stars on both sides.
Okay, so I would have liked to have seen him, okay? I would have liked to have seen him go from the American League dugout and rather than point to the National League dugout, walk over and do the same thing in the National League dugout. That would have been cool. Not being critical, it's just as the night progressed. Tony Gwynn was not honored in a moment of silence during the game. Before the game, Fox did a very nice piece on Tony Gwynn. That's a difficult one because, and I can say this straightforward, Tony Gwynn was a friend. Tony Gwynn is somebody I knew and knew well. Tony Gwynn wouldn't have cared one rat's ass about anybody acknowledging him in any way, any shape, or any form. But that's why I'm bringing this up, because he wouldn't have cared, but I did. How do you put a broadcast together that's going to be 3 hours and change and don't find even a minute in the game? Before the game, it's let's get this out of the way. How is it during the game you don't find a minute to acknowledge Tony Gwynn? How is that? Is it small market San Diego? Who cares? If it was somebody over on the Yankee side of things or a Dodger, would they have been blown up into the biggest deal? Let's have this tribute, this moment of silence. There's times where I look at baseball and the fun is not in the game as much as it needs to be. Like, I liked watching Mike Trout last night. I watched Mike Trout smile and laugh and show some personality last night. He had a great time. I saw Paul Goldschmidt. Doesn't matter if he's a Diamondback or not. I saw Paul Goldschmidt make a hell of a play over at first base, a diving stop play. I liked seeing Paul Goldschmidt on camera acknowledging and applauding, while not every player in the NL dugout was acknowledging and applauding Derek Jeter. I kind of like that. Kind of like seeing Goldschmidt interact over at first base. He's growing with this game. But you have to take the time to acknowledge. And they didn't do that. And it's pretty fresh. It's not even a month since Tony Gwynn passed away. And to not find a spot in the game at all, it's crazy. So I'm not producing the thing, but I don't want to hear this. Well, we just didn't have time, or it just wasn't relevant, or we've already done it in the pregame show. It's just, you have a time, you don't have a time watch on how long this broadcast is going to go. So you got to work it in. That's just fact. Don't need excuses. Todd Graham on the other side, his summer vacation, where it took him, and the football side of this. This is a former history teacher, and he was at places like Omaha Beach, Churchill's room. We'll have much more with Todd Graham. Also going to talk to him about Jalen Strong because he's getting a lot of run nationally. That's next. I'm Brad Sussmat, Sports 360, AZ.com, AZ Central Sports. We partner with The Republic, White Mountain Radio, and on Twitter at Brad Sussmat.
Like our Facebook fan page for unique Arizona sports content from the high schools to the pros. Facebook.com/Sports360AZ.
Sports 360 AZ, Brad Sussmat with you. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports, and of course on White Mountain Radio. Hard to believe that we're going to be at Pac-12 Football Media Day next week. I've been watching this week. The SEC Media Day is going on. Even harder to believe, we're 3 weeks away from doing the show. Every day I'll be at Camp Tonizona. 3 years in a row I've been at Camp T doing the show. No one else goes up there and does the show. I always hear it's too hard to get to the field. It's too this, it's too that. Every year we're at Coles Ranch, and then I wander on over to the field, and I'll stand there and watch the players and have some fun. Hard to believe that Weber State is right around the corner on Thursday, August 28th. And before you know it, we'll be doing the show in Albuquerque from the team hotels we do every year. We take the show on the road and follow ASU football. Todd Graham, we were in his office earlier this week, and it was really good to visit with him just on where things are with the program. But on top of that, he just – got back from his summer vacation. He went to some really interesting places. We're talking about this at the White Mountain Sun Devil Club last week. And before I get to him next week at a media day where it's just a bunch of football stuff, and I'll work some of that in here, I just want to know, you went overseas to some places that were pretty interesting, that as a football coach, I'm sure you probably thought a little bit how you could work this in to motivate your team. Am I right, Coach?
Well, yeah, obviously. I mean, you know, I'm an old history teacher, so, you know, what I've basically done, you know, my heritage, I'm a Scotsman. My family, the Graham name comes from Scotland and up around Edinburgh, the Graham clan. And so we went there for 4 days, went up in the North Country and the Highland Country, and then obviously went to Ireland, went to London. And the whole time there, obviously, the time I spent in London, I went to Churchill's War Room. You know, obviously, and one of the most motivating, I mean, one of the great leaders of all time. So we spent a lot of time kind of tracing and following leadership, whether it be, you know, the, you know, Robert Thurl Bruce back in 1314, you know, defeat in England, or it'd be, you know, Churchill against the Germans. So we did a lot of those things. Obviously, I got a lot of things that I actually brought back a helmet, a knight's helmet that I'm going to use as kind of an award each week with our players and stuff that we think is going to be neat. And then, but going to Normandy, every American should go to Normandy. Going there and seeing the Omaha Beach Cemetery, almost 9,400 Americans there. And you see, you walk on that beach, and the price that was paid there was just tremendous. So lots and lots of things that I can come back and teachable opportunities to share with my players. So it was a great, great time for me. And it was just, you know, so we went and basically seen all of the Great Britain and then finished at Normandy, which was tremendous.
When you're doing all this, are you in teacher mode? Are you in football coach mode? Can you unplug from both and just enjoy it?
You know, I really can. You know, one of the good things, you know, I actually was on a cruise ship that, kind of went around the Britain and the Great Britain there to Ireland and to then to Scotland and to England and then finished in France. And so, you know, my side didn't have cell coverage, so that most of the time when I'm out at sea and stuff, I didn't have cell coverage, so that helped. And you do need that, you know. I mean, one of the things, you know, I really enjoyed spending time you know, with just the family and getting to wind down a little bit. But you know, I sneak the laptop in there every once in a while and obviously spend a little time getting ready for the season. But I think that's one of the most important things, is be able to be able to have that. I look forward to it every year, and we always go somewhere usually historical, and it's something that does really help me recharge my batteries to get ready to come back and go to work.
What do you take when you're at Normandy, Todd? Do you take Operation Overlord? What do you take from all of that?
Well, it was just, when you think about 9,400 Americans just at Omaha Beach, 17,000, you know, Americans died there, and you look at how. You know, I think in that operation, 7,000 of them died in the first 15 minutes, and you know, 17, 18-year-old, you know, young men, and obviously more than anything, pay homage to and how grateful, you know, you are to people that gave that kind of sacrifice, which was, you look up on the, you know, the high tide, the erratic tide that they had there. It was 225 Rangers had to take a rocket-propelled rope, shoot up to the top of a 90-foot cliff, climb up that cliff under machine gun fire coming down. And out of 225, 90 of them made it. And you think of this, that, I mean, you know, just the, you know, the, you know, the privilege it is that we, you know, we live in a country that we're free to, you know, coach and compete and to play a great game and to get an education and to live the way we live. And you see that kind of sacrifice. I sat in the middle of that, the cemetery, and just kind of looked through there, and it was, they played the national anthem, you know, there. And it's just, it was surreal, you know, for me. And just, I mean, the price that was paid was just tremendous. And it's something that I've always wanted to do. I've always wanted to go there and visit there, you know, being a history teacher, studying the wars and stuff. But a lot of great experiences to really bring back, and just to know how lucky you are to be an American.
Todd Graham with Brad Susmat. Okay, so on your summer vacation, Churchill, there's so many speeches by Churchill as a history teacher. What'd you take from your Churchill experience over there?
Well, I got to go to his war room, where he actually his bunker where he actually planned, and we spent an entire day in there, you know, and just a person's, you know, a lot of his stuff was you know, in your finest hour, you know, is when it was the gravest. I mean, you know, that's when your true character's exposed, and I just loved going through that and seeing, you know, how he went about. He was a person that the innovative. He was a person that was very, very fundamentally sound, and how they did everything they did, and how he went about the operations. They just had his relationship with FDR, and how he was just masterful in how he worked those relationships. And but it was his heart, it was his determination, and when someone speaks, you know, his words were obviously, you know, powerful, but the passion from which he spoke them, you know, and you can tell when someone has a passion for something and they have their heart is 100% committed to it. And, you know, that's what we talked to, you know, I'm, you know, sitting there, and as a coach, you want the guy to give you everything he's got and then just a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And Churchill was one of those rare leaders that knew how to get that out of the people that he was leading his countrymen. And, you know, that's something that traced back to really with most people, it's faith and family. You know, I would die for my family, and obviously, you know, you go over there, you see these men that died and gave so much for their country. But he was just, everything he did was it really epitomizes a leader. It was his preparation, his intestinal fortitude, and his passion that separated him. So he was very neat to get to go and see all that. They have the videos, and you can see on each day exactly what he was doing, trace every single day of his leadership during the war. So it's pretty cool.
The helmet. So you bring a knight's helmet back. How do you get that through customs? I'm just wondering. Do you check it?
I had it mailed here.
You had it mailed here, yeah.
They shipped it back over for me. I didn't. I wasn't about to attempt to take that on plane. But we actually, you know, it was just, you know, one of the things. We have a hammer, you know, that we carry each week. And, you know, the person who we talk about being tough, physical, hard edge, you know, a character, smart, tough, that represents, embodies that week, the PT-42 mentality, carries the hammer out of the tunnel. And so I said, heck, why not? We'll have we'll use the knight's helmet as well for the most dominating performance, and have a little fun with it too.
So that sounds like lineman. I mean, that could be a Douglas or a Westerman type of award, right, this year?
Well, I'm going to tell you, as long as Mo doesn't wear it, I think everybody else can get it on the pad. I don't think Mo can get it on his head. You might have to just hold it.
Oh, gosh. Before I let you go on this, because, you know, we're going to talk a lot of football next week out of Pac-12 Football Media Day. It's right around the corner. I sat with you on stage up at the White Mountain event, and you talked about, you know, a few players. You talked about Jalen Strong a little bit. And, you know, for someone that is coming into a season where he has lofty expectations, a lot's being written about, it really struck me how you believe that Jalen Strong can be a player that you actually have talked to and challenged to be even better than where he is right now. If you remember our conversation, if you can just talk about your conversations with Jalen this summer.
Well, you know, obviously, you know, you know, one of the things that I just find personally in my life, that when things are tough, you know, I'm always, you know, focused. I'm always, you know, prayerful. I'm always, you know, really at my best. But it's when you experience success. People don't realize success is one of the hardest things to deal with, because you get swelled up with importance and you don't understand that. And obviously, you know, Jalen is a very gifted, talented athlete. But I think that you've seen, and our fans have seen, about maybe 30-40% of what he's capable of. Even last year, you know, just from a conditioning and strength standpoint, you know, he wasn't anywhere near where he can be. And obviously he's in a lot better shape, a lot stronger, a lot more physical, a lot more explosive now. So, you know, that's what I talk to him about is, you know, you want to stay humble and you want to stay hungry. And the less you read all that stuff and all the, you know, I think preseason picks and preseason watch lists and all that, are those important? Heck yeah. A lot of coaches tell you that those things aren't important. Heck, they're not. Man, it speaks to the fact that you have put yourself there, that you put yourself in position not just to be good, but to be great. But with that comes an incredible responsibility to know that that doesn't mean you've accomplished it. Because you're, you know, preseason All-American doesn't mean you're an All-American. You've got to go do it on the field. And with all that accolation, that the focus and the double coverage and all those things come. And I always talk to our guys, don't be the guy that's talking about, well, I'm getting double covered all the time or I'm getting double teamed all the time. Heck with that. Be prepared and go out and seize it and be the best that you could be. And so I do think that my challenge to him is to get better every day, every rep, every day, constant improvement. And we've talked to him. We want him to be, you know, his goal is to be, you know, the best wide receiver in America, to be, we've got guys like DJ Foster, Tedder Kelly and himself that want to be the Heisman Trophy winner. Why not? I mean, you ought to have those goals, but that, you're not going to sit around accomplishing anything by reading all that stuff. I think it's flattering. It does say that you put yourself in position. But I don't think we've seen near the best of Jalen Strong, and I think he's worked hard. And I can tell you this, we don't – our best players, we believe we should demand more out of them, not less. And if you watch a lot of people – that's what I told Jay. I said, Jay, you notice a lot of people, you know, when you score touchdowns, you know, they tend to be easier on you, and they don't – everybody's yelling at the backup. You know, we're going to push and demand that our best players get better, and that's how you accomplish winning a championship. So, you know, I think – I'm excited about the work that he's put in, and the key is just staying humble and staying focused on the job at hand, because you see a lot of people have great junior year or great sophomore year and they slip back the next year. So, you know, I think that, I can tell you this, he'll tell you, we've been very, very hard and very, very demanding on him. And I think that's what he needs and he wants in a coach. And I'm looking forward to seeing what he's going to do this year.
Well, I'm not surprised, Todd, to see him listed as a first round pick, but I'm talking top 10 pick in some of these. And I know it's mocks. I know it's summer and I know it's all that, but there's this view that he's one of the top 10 guys in this upcoming draft. That's pretty heady stuff for this kid, given where he came from and the impact he's made in such a short period of time.
Well, and what I would tell you, I mean, last year at this time, you know, there were, Will was in the top 15 picks and went in the third round. The guy that won the Heisman Trophy last year wasn't really even on the radar. Mm-hmm. So, you know, all that stuff, the key is it, you know, and I'll be honest with you, people say, do you even talk to him about that? Yeah, I sit down and tell Jalen, don't worry about all that stuff. He's got 2 years of eligibility left. But I said, here's our goal. Our goal is to be the first guy picked in the draft. If we can do it this year, great. Mm. If not, let's do it next year. And so, you know, and how you can do that, the best way you can improve your draft status and reach every goal you have, all you got to do is win 15 games. For us to do that, we've got to win 9 games away from home. We only play 6 games at home. So all the conference championship's definitely going to be in San Francisco. Obviously, the Rose Bowl's in Pasadena, the national championships in AT&T Stadium in Dallas. So every one of those things are up on our wall, and I do talk to those guys about that. Because if a guy's going to be a top 5 pick in the draft, heck, we're going to have go away parties for him. So we're, you know, that is every one of them's goal. And so he and I talk about that. But the one thing you can't do is. You can't show me with all that attention. It's time management, and it's a distraction if you're not mature enough to handle that. And I think one of the things that helps with that maturity is having a coaching staff, a strength staff, a coaching staff that keeps you humble and also, you know, keeps that hunger, you know, where you're pushing to get better every day, because it's hard to handle all that success. I think it's one of the in my life, when I have failed or when I have slipped backwards, it's always been when things are going really well. Mm. And so that's when you got to really focus harder, you got to push harder, you got to work harder. And he's done that. I think that, like I said, I don't think we've seen the best of Jalen Strong. I think we're fixing to.
Appreciate your time as always. I'll see you next week out of Pac-12 Media Day. Thanks.
Okay, go Devils.
There is Todd Graham with us for a couple of minutes. Sports 360. AZ.com. AZ Central Sports, good to partner with the Arizona Republic, White Mountain Radio, and on Twitter, at Brad Sussmat. Back with more after this timeout. Brad Sussmat with you Monday through Friday right here, Sports 360, AZ.com. Thanks again to Todd Graham. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports, White Mountain Radio, and on Twitter, at Brad Sussmat. Interesting stuff there with Todd Graham. Next week, I'll be at Pac-12 Football Media Day doing the show on Wednesday. And Thursday, we'll actually be out there on Tuesday for meetings as well, as we continue our third year in a row of being on the road all around college football. We do a ton of college football here on sports360az.com. And we pay attention to what's going on with the pros, what's going on in college, what's going on in high school. Do things a little bit differently than everyone else. And it was really good to visit with Todd Graham. This Knights helmet, I want to see this Knights helmet. So it can't fit on Mo Latu's head. That's a dang big head. That might be Bochy-esque size of head. Huge deal there. And the comments about Jalen Strong, really interesting as well. There's some other stuff on the college football front I want to get to in a minute. Some things around the Suns that happened last night and today and some context there. And I'm getting a lot of notes about your Tony Gwynn rant. And yeah, I went off about 40 minutes. I go off occasionally. I don't need to do it every day on this show. But just went nuts on Fox just completely dropping the ball last night. Let me take a minute, though, to talk to you about Western Grade and Western Materials. When I talk about Western Grade and Western Materials and their CEO, Troy Gillespie, Troy told me that the theme of his company is your granddad wouldn't build your family's foundation in the shifting sands. Neither will the Western companies with the right equipment, the right people at the right price. And so you're saying, okay, landscaping, Brad? Yeah. Topsoil? Yeah. Asphalt? Sure. Paving? Right. So we're talking about your custom home, or maybe you're that builder and you're looking for that company. Western Grade, Western Materials. When you're talking about something as important as a custom home, Troy and his staff, they're the ones. Troy Gillespie, he's the one, and his team, that you want on that project. Western Grade, Western Materials website, plenty of information for you to check them out at. Just go online to westerncos.com. westerncos.com, that's westerncos.com. Western Grade, Western Materials. So SEC Media Day is going on today, and it came out today that Alabama has scheduled USC. I like this. We were talking about a month ago where Alabama, their athletic director, said they couldn't find a game for this year, and I sent a tweet out to both Greg Byrne at U of A and Ray Anderson over at ASU saying, guys, they're looking for a game. Now, I know that scheduling Alabama on the road usually equates to an L. But if you're going to play the best of the best, especially in this new era of college football, you can't afford to have too many Texas San Antonios or Weber States bumping around on your schedule. You just can't. So Alabama-USC will be in Dallas in 2016. That's a game I'd like to see. There are games that I've been at. I've been at Ohio State and Michigan. It's terrific. I've been at Notre Dame-USC. It's a lot of fun. I've not been to a Texas Oklahoma. Like to do that sometime. Would love to see Texas A&M and Texas go back and play one another. I think that'd be a lot of fun. I'm into those games, those intersectional rivalries, parts of the country that don't play each other very much. When LSU came here with Jamarcus Russell in the Katrina game to play ASU, that was a lot of fun, right? When Notre Dame is here this November, when Notre Dame plays at Arizona State later this year, that's going to be a lot of fun to be at. It'll be a great time. So these games, when they get announced, like Alabama-USC, it's terrific for college football. Look forward to that. Here's Todd Graham. I want to go back and give this a little bit more, because when he said it, it was like, wow, that's setting the bar very high. Jalen Strong, in a long list of wide receivers that have come out of Arizona State University, if you look at the wide receivers that have come out of ASU, you look at wide receivers and say, wow, they've had some very, very good ones that have come out of ASU. Let's look at Oregon, for instance. Give me the last time there was a star big-time wide receiver out of Oregon. Even Duck fans, you'd have to reach a little bit when I say star big-time player. If you're a wide receiver and you're not looking at Arizona State, then I don't think you're really looking. So here's Todd Graham just a few moments ago on Jalen Strong and the expectations for him. Pretty lofty stuff for the coming season. Listen to this.
We want him to be, you know, his goal is to be, you know, the best wide receiver in America, to be, we've got guys like DJ Foster, Tedder Kelly, and himself that want to be the Heisman Trophy winner. Why not? I mean, you ought to have those goals, but that, you're not going to sit around accomplishing anything by reading all that stuff. I think it's flattering. It does say that you put yourself in position. But I don't think we've seen near the best of Jalen Strong, and I think he's worked hard. And I can tell you this, we don't – our best players, we believe we should demand more out of them, not less. And if you watch a lot of people, that's what I told Jay. I said, Jay, you notice a lot of people, you know, when you score touchdowns, you know, they tend to be easier on you, and they don't everybody's yelling at the backup. You know, we're going to push and demand that our best players get better, and that's how you accomplish winning the championship. So, you know, I think I'm excited about the work that he's put in. And the key is just staying humble and staying focused on the job at hand, because you see a lot of people have great junior year or great sophomore year, and they slip back the next year. So, you know, I think that, I can tell you this. He'll tell you we've been very, very hard and very, very demanding on him.
So the part about be the Heisman Trophy winner, why not? Whether it's Taylor Kelly, whether it's C.J. Foster, whether it's Jalen Strong, any coach – will think that, not many will say that. There are times, and I've had people at ASU that have said there are times that Todd needs to control what he says a little bit more. No. Not just because I can sit here and point out when he says a little bit further on in the interview, he says, you know, if Jalen Strong is a top five pick, we're going to hold the party and congratulate him for going on, or we want him to aim to be the number one overall pick in the draft. I mean, that's stuff that you just don't hear out of coaches. Usually it's, yeah, he's a good player, he's had a nice career, blah, 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 blah. It's kind of like how people wanted Adam Wainwright to be last night. Just don't say anything. Instead, he said something.
And honestly, Brad,
yeah,
to this point, how can we not trust what Todd Graham is preaching? Because when he came here, I know you and I both snickered about, oh, we're going to go back to Camp T, and oh, we're going to win Pac-12 championships, and oh, we're going to get the stadium deal done, and oh, we're going to turn around the program. And well, guess what? 2 years later, look at where ASU is just 2 years after the fact from when Todd Graham took over.
I don't know if I snickered as much as I just said, I've heard this before.
But I snickered because I was like everyone else. Who is Todd Graham? Like, this is, you know, you're not bringing in Nick Saban. You're not bringing in
right.
a high-profile coach. You're bringing in a guy, a job jumper, who's done pretty well at a couple of mid-majors and had a 6-6 year at Pitt. But everything that that guy has done to this point, for the most part, he's followed through on.
Well, and I'm hearing some stuff around the stadium, too, that he's going to be involved in, that when it comes out, and that's going to make people sit up and say, yeah, he's not leaving anytime soon.
Probably.
You know, that there's some stuff that's coming down the pike that when it's announced, you're just going to sit up and say, you got to be kidding me. And it'll be significant stuff. While Todd Graham is saying that, we have to talk about Matty Mock here for a minute. So, the college football time of year with SEC Media Day on us, you're going to have some things said that you probably should look back and readdress and restate. I'm thinking Missouri quarterback Matty Mock is one of those guys. Matty Mock said today, a day after Texas A&M coach Kevin Sumlin conceded that there's not going to be another Johnny Manziel, Missouri quarterback Matty Mock would not concede the point. Quote, I feel like I have the ability to do similar things, and that's what people are expecting of me back in Columbia, Missouri, Mock said today at SEC Media Days. Yeah, he decided to say, I'm Johnny Manziel good.
Yeah, why don't you play like Johnny Manziel? Wow. Just don't act like Johnny Manziel.
The stuff he could do was unbelievable. People had never seen it. You're a freshman Heisman Trophy winner, Mock said. He could turn anything into a big play. That's what I liked about him. That's why I watch film on him. That's fine. But is he showing Manziel-like moxie in comparing himself, likening himself to the former Texas A&M star? Now he's put a gigantic bullseye on his back. There's no other way to put it. When you go down that path and you decide to say, I feel like I have the ability to do similar things. Yeah, as long as you said, Eric, keep it on the field. But even on the field, the things he did on the field, I don't see anybody out there that can replace or replicate those sorts of feats.
No, and especially after yesterday, Brad, because I don't know if you heard Kevin Sumlin's press conference, but he basically said in so many words, it's time to turn the page on the Johnny Manziel era. It was fun while it lasted,
yeah.
But he's not here. And the Texas A&M program is moving forward and moving past him. Obviously, we appreciate everything that Manziel did for the program, but he's not here anymore, and we have to focus on the present, not look back on the past.
So next week when we're sitting with Marcus Mariota from Oregon and we're sitting with Brett Hundley from UCLA, am I supposed to say, hey, do you guys have Johnny Manziel-like qualities in you?
And then ask them if they know who Matty Mock is.
Right.
See what they say.
Is Matty Mock, do you have Matty Mock qualities in you, Brett?
Is he a minor league baseball player? Who is that?
Right. These guys sometimes, and they're kids, but you get caught up in the moment. On the other side, so the Suns made some moves last night, a couple moves, actually. And Channing Frye said some things that I actually agree with on what the Suns and how that whole deal went. That's on the other side. I'm Brad Sussmat, Sports360AZ.com. We're Arizona-centric. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. We also partner with White Mountain Radio. We're on Twitter, at Brad Sussmat. Next week, we'll be out in Los Angeles doing the show on Wednesday, Thursday at Pac-12 Football Media Day. Thanks to our friends at Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it's all about you. 3 years in a row, they've been with us since day number one as part of Sports 360 AZ. When General Manager Tim Hovick sat down with me and I said, Tim, I'm leaving television. I'm going digital because that's where it is. Everybody has one of these, has their phone with them. That's where content is going. Content creation is where it's at. Everybody can do the same old stuff. I'm going to go do some things that others don't have the staff, don't have the time to do. And Tim said, Brad, wherever you go, we are there with you. And 3 years later, here we are heading back to Pac-12 Football Media Day. We'll be on the road with ASU this year, the Final Four, the NFL Combine, all thanks to our good friends at Santan Ford. General Manager Tim Hovick lives up to his word on that and other things, too, for you and your vehicle. You need that car. You need that truck. It's that time to get it traded in. School's almost back in session. Hard to believe next week. My kid's going into fourth grade, my youngest. It's time for a new vehicle for the Sussmats. We're getting out of that expedition. And we're looking at the Explorer. The Explorer makes a lot of sense. I don't have four kids I'm toting around anymore. I'll be down to one. So let's get something new. Let's get Mama happy in the vehicle that she's in. Guys, you know this. When Mama's not happy in the vehicle that she's in because she's had it for a long time and it's got a lot of miles on it, it's done its due. It's been great to drive it, but it's just time to get something new. You know that that's what you need to do. And I'm looking at the Explorer in the Sussmat household. How about you? Does the vehicle you're in fit your needs? Stop on into Santan Ford. Santan Ford just off the Santan 202 in Val Vista. Great people there at Santan Ford. Bob Johnson, John Bernath and company. They do it right. That's Santan Ford with Tim Hovick. It's all about you. Channing Frye said, I felt like the Suns were saving money for other things. He told AZ Central's Paul Coro. They were not close enough to me to take it seriously. Wow. Which makes sense. It's a business. You have to be somewhere you're wanted. I felt like the guys who have been there for years became a side note. Channing Frye. Now, there is a business to this. In this same story, the Suns went up to Portland as a contingent to visit with Channing Frye. I don't know if I've got somebody offering me the contract that Channing got in Orlando, and if the money's close and if I'm not getting a whole lot of attention, maybe I go to Orlando. Probably I go to Orlando. It is a business. These guys are pieces of meat. They've got to jump at the opportunity. You can roll things out, but if you're focused on, I felt like the Suns were saving money for other things, they were not close enough to me to take it seriously. That's a shot. There's no other way to put it. And he's a good guy. We loved watching him at St. Mary's. Great run over at U of A. Came here. But that's a shot. There's no other way to put it.
True. But 4 years, $32 million is fine if you're the Orlando Magic for Channing Frye. It's not fine if you're the Phoenix Suns. It's just too much money.
No,
I agree. I agree. Channing is a valuable stretch four who's done a lot of great things on the court. He was good in the community, a good guy, a local kid. But, like you said, it's a business, and there's a salary cap, and you need to be smart with how you spend your money.
So I've been sitting here rambling on about how Markieff Morris is no Channing Frye. He's not. He's a 16-foot jump shot guy. And even then, I'm not entirely comfortable with him. So the Suns last night reportedly have come to terms with Anthony Tolliver. Anthony Tolliver shot 48% from three-point country in the fourth quarter of games last season. He's a stretch four. I'm not going to sit here and sell this as all ills are solved. Everything has been figured out. Everything has been fixed. However, I will say that when you have somebody that you lose and you're able to bounce back pretty quickly, Anthony Tolliver is a nice player. I don't know if he's going to be Channing Frye or not. I don't know that. All the Suns can say is we hope. They don't know. We hope. I do know this. Last night as I was watching TJ Warren, TJ Warren is a man among boys at the Summer League in Vegas. He's ready to roll. I got out of the All-Star game when Jeter was out of the game and watched TJ Warren. 28 points, 11 boards. And, you know, it's the different sort of ways that he scores. He's one of those guys that as you're watching him, it's like, yeah, he's a nice player. And then you look up at the end of the game and look at the stat sheet and say, he scored 28? Get out of here. He scored 28?
He was a scoring machine at NC State, playing in a very, very good basketball conference, the ACC. So if he has half the production he did in college, that's going to be a really good pick for the Suns.
Well, so you're looking at it, Eric. He scored 54 points in 64 minutes against guys that are going to be the star player on the Slovenian league. You know, the third team Polish league.
All Iceland first team.
Yeah. I mean, these guys that are going to be bumping around and bouncing around. So it's hard to take this too serious on one level. On another, it's just over and over and over and over. It's repetition, repetition, repetition. And you're seeing him go out and play pretty well. The Suns released Ish Smith yesterday. This was not a surprise.
Good player, but
nice.
No room. No room. Sorry.
You know, and I'd even just say nice role player for what the Suns were of 2013-2014, and that's it.
Let's Isaiah Thomas is a huge upgrade over Ish Smith. Huge.
I got this. What are they doing? Why Ish Smith? Guys, you can't have a bunch of people that you like on the team. You can't. You have to have some guys. If you want to win and win big, you're going to have some badasses. You're going to have some guys that are sandpaper. You're going to have some guys that are edgy. You can't just have a whole bunch of nice guys and put them out on the floor and hope that it all works together. Especially in the NBA, you're going to have your guys that are willing to scrap, fight, claw, and play nasty. Tony Parker, Manu Ginobili, Tim Duncan, for everything that Suns fans hate about him, I don't know. Just look at the hardware. It's really not that hard. You have to really respect what they do. It doesn't matter to me that Popovich walks to midcourt and whines and cries and gets away with it. Don't care. Don't care that Tim Duncan makes faces off of breathing on somebody and that he's never fouled anybody in his life. Doesn't matter. Manu Ginobili, you can hate Manu all you want. I have nothing but respect for him and admire him, and I wish he were on my team. Same with Tony Parker. So when I get this, why would they let go of Ish Smith? Are you kidding me? I'm not sitting here demeaning the kid. It's, I want a title team. I don't want a bunch of nice guys. For too long in Phoenix, we've had years and years of what a great guy. Oh, he's so media friendly. Oh, he's the greatest dude in the world. Oh, he's this. Oh, he's that. You know what? I kind of liked walking into the Diamondbacks locker room and having Randy Johnson snap my head off. I kind of liked having Curt Schilling blow me off. Kind of liked having Matt Williams be a grump over in the corner. There's nothing wrong with that. And, oh, I don't know, they won a title. So you can't have a collection of nice guys and fun guys all the time. Give me guys that can play and play at a high level. So, you know, in the case of Tolliver, I don't know. The numbers sound good. It's nice to see them go out and make a move on a stretch four that shoots well from three-point country, because who they had on the roster, I don't want to hear about Keefe. Keefe this, Keefe that. He hasn't shown it to me. He's done a nice job. Do I think that they can win a title with this group of players they have right now? No.
At first, I thought you meant Adam Keefe, and I was missing something.
Even Adam Keefe's not bad. You know, Kiefer Sutherland's not bad.
Exactly.
I don't, you know, so... Do the Suns have cap space to go pursue Carlos Boozer? Does Carlos Boozer make any sense in Phoenix? I mean, over one of those questions. See, like Charlotte getting Lance Stephenson, it's a hell of a pickup for Charlotte. It's a great pickup. He's an edgy player. How about Dirk turning down the Lakers and max money? How great is that? Sports360AZ.com. We're on AZ Central Sports as well, White Mountain Radio, and on Twitter, @BradSusmat.